Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Good morning indeed, my dudes and dudettes. Welcome in. Our numero tres of the Rob Brown Show is underway now. This...
Wait.
It's the Phantom State.
Trace, like three as in three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Show of the Year? That kind of three?
As in three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year Award winners. That is correct, ladies and gentlemen. That guy, that other voice you hear, that sultry, seductive sound coming through your speakers right now, that, of course, is the alpha and the omega of the Fan Upstate. He is the content cash cow, the wizard of wave, the professor of perfection, the sultan of sound. He is the great one, Lonzo. My name, of course, well, it's Rob Brown, which is a good thing because we spent all that money on the imaging for the show. And if it was anything else, that would have been very, very poor usage of our finances.
It was like a consortium. I don't know, a bunch of other big words, a group of people trying to come up with the best name for the show. And that's what they came up with.
The honest answer is when I got the gig, the powers that be wanted it to have a name that was, you know, like a thing with Rob Brown, you know, like we've had Offsides and we've had Wire to Wire and plenty of other names of shows.
Well, that way, when you get rid of someone, you don't have to change the name of the show. You just say with whoever the new person is. Yeah.
Bingo. But my argument for, and the reason why, which I am very, very grateful for, so that we are all very, very clear. My reason for keeping the show name as The Rob Brown Show was, and that part's not a joke, because I had literally already spent a bunch of money having a bunch of stuff mocked up, including that logo right there over our heads here on our live stream that you can watch by searching The Fan Upstate on YouTube or Facebook, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube or Facebook, or The Rob Brown Show on Twitch. I had already spent the money to make all the branding and imaging for the show, and I didn't want to waste that money. That's literally the reason. Feel like it worked out okay. All right. So we are talking SEC football this morning here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. When one looks at the NCAA preseason football rankings, one will find that the number one team in America, the Georgia Bulldogs, belong to the Southeastern Conference. The number four team in the country, the Texas Longhorns, now belong to the Southeastern Conference. One will find that the number five team in the country, the Alabama Crimson Tide, belong to the Southeastern Conference. The number six team, the Ole Miss Rebels, belong to the Southeastern Conference. The number 13 team, the LSU Tigers. The number 15 team, the Tennessee Volunteers. The number 16 team, the Oklahoma Boomer Sooners. The number 20 team, the Texas A&M Cultists, I mean Aggies, all belong to the Southeastern Conference, a solid one-third of the AP preseason top 25 all come out of the SEC. Lonzo and I, in our last segment, made our projections and prognostications.
By the way, real quick, Shane says you missed Missouri.
Oh, that's true. I did miss Missouri. Missouri checking in at number 11. Good call, Shane. Thank you very much for keeping me honest. That's why you're a valued member of the Rob Brown Show Armada. So, Lonzo and I gave our projections on who will be playing for the Southeastern Conference Championship next year. Lonzo went with the University of Georgia taking on Texas in the 2024-25 Southeastern Conference Championship. And I do think, after we have spent some time talking about Alabama, taking a couple of moments talking about Georgia, I think obviously it is quite fair to spend a couple of minutes talking about the Longhorns of Texas. We mentioned when we were talking about Jackson Dart, when we were talking about Carson Beck at Georgia. We mentioned when we were talking quarterbacks a few minutes ago, Jalen Milroe at Alabama, that these guys were all short odds to be in New York City and picking up the Heisman Trophy at the conclusion of the 2024-25 NCAA college football season. Quinn Ewers is another guy that is on that list. Let us begin with this. Texas is absolutely a team that I think has a chance. I think Texas is a team that has a lot of depth at a lot of positions. Here is the biggest question mark I have. For a team that wants to utilize Quinn Ewers to the maximum of his potential, did they reload at wide receiver? They lose Xavier Worthy, now a Kansas City Chief. They lose Adney Mitchell, who was a first-round pick overall. They lose Jordan Whittington. They lose Jatavion Sanders, now a Carolina Panther. They lose all of that. And, oh, by the way, they also lose a cat by the name of John Brooks, now also a Carolina Panther. John Brooks, of course, did miss most of the Texas Longhorn season last year due to that torn ACL that he is still rehabbing and recovering from, which makes him potentially available for the Panthers somewhere later in the season, but still a big, big loss. However, they did add a little bit. They brought in Isaiah Bond from Alabama. Why is that name familiar? Bond. Isaiah Bond. The answer is because Isaiah Bond was the wide receiver who caught the gravedigger touchdown tossed by Jalen Milroe last year in the dying gasp of the Iron Bowl. Sorry, Keegan, love you like a brother. That ultimately gave Alabama the W and sent Alabama to the SEC championship, a victory over Georgia, and eventually a berth in the college football playoffs. But Isaiah Bond's not the only one. Matthew Golden of Houston, Silas Bolden of Oregon State, and tight end Amari Nyblack of Alabama all join the Texas ranks. Steve Sarkisian is adding all of that portal skill talent to an offense that is returning four starters across the offensive line. including first-team All-Big 12 junior left tackle Kelvin Banks Jr., a pair of rising star running backs in Jordan Jaden Blue, and sophomore C.J. Baxter. Of course, Baxter out for the season, so you actually lose the 4.8 yards per carry that he got you last year. They also have senior tight end Gunnar Helm and Juan Davis on the edge. Pardon me, excellent timing. You add Quinn Ewers, the Heisman Trophy favorite. You add that Arch Manning has decided not to transfer and is still waiting in the wings should anything go wrong for Quinn Ewers. And just like that, Steve Sarkisian is taking an offense that averaged 35.8 points per game in reaching the playoffs last year in bringing back a good chunk. That's not the problem. I don't believe that the problem is going to be offensive for the Texas Longhorns. What I believe is a big problem. What I believe is a big problem is the defense. Last year, Texas had the number 3 FBS ranking against the run. They averaged less than 83 yards surrendered on the ground. A big part of the reason for that, Outland Award winner Tavondre Sweat, Big 12 Defensive Lineman of the Year Byron Murphy, and two-time first-team All-Big 12 middle linebacker Jalen Ford. Guess what? All of those players have gone to the NFL. Now, there is some talent coming back. Anthony Hill Jr., freshman All-American in 2023, but he is moving from weak side backer to middle backer. Sophomore Malik Muhammad, a rising star at cornerback. The Longhorns also brought in portal help at defensive tackle with Taole Sevilla of Arizona. They brought in Andrew Makuba of Clemson to play safety. Edge rusher junior Trey Moore had 14 sacks for UTSA last year, and senior Kendrick Blackshire of Alabama moves over to play linebacker this year. The talent through the portal on offense is largely proven. The talent through the portal on defense is not. The Longhorns last year put up a lot of points per game. I very much believe that they will be able to do the same this year, though not as successfully. Guys like Adnay Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, they're not easily replaced. And guys like Isaiah Bond, I don't think necessarily have the same skill talent level that Texas lost through the draft, to the portal, and through graduation from last year. On top of all of that, and I don't know if this is fair or not, I will let you guys be the judge of it and tell me. Despite the fact that he did play in a college football national championship semifinal game last year, I don't really trust Steve Sarkisian. I trust Kalen DeBoer. I trust Kirby Smart. In a weird way, I trust Lane Kiffin to some degree. Not as much. He's on a second tier.
Can you explain why? I mean, why do you not? What's Lane Kiffin ever done other than be entertaining? Sorry, it's the delay. I'll stop.
No, you're good. Wildly entertaining is Joey Freshwater. Not why I trust him. I trust Lane Kiffin because Lane Kiffin is a dude that I don't suspect there will be any sort of dissension in the ranks from that team. I think Ole Miss win, lose, or draw will be a team that never has any animosity in the locker room because I think that team is absolutely well put together. Steve Sarkisian, I do not trust as much as a head coach in the biggest game. And the reason why was, and I'll go back to the semifinal game from last year when Washington knocked off Texas. As much as I like Kalen DeBoer, as much as I think Michael Penix Jr. deserves way more credit than he gets for what he did last year as the quarterback for the Washington Huskies, and I understand why that credit has been taken away from him. It's because he was working with an excellent wide receiver core led by Rome Odunze, who, by the way, looked phenomenal for the Chicago Bears this past weekend in their preseason game. I don't think there was any reason that Texas got outplayed by the Washington Huskies last year. I think Washington won what I considered in that semifinal game a 37-31 win for the Huskies. I think Washington played a cleaner football game. I think Washington was more polished. I think Washington, with a couple of plays of exception in the third quarter, by and large, I think they were a cleaner football team. I think they were a less talented football team who went in there and gutted out the win. And I hold that against Steve Sarkisian. I think Steve Sarkisian is a lot like Nick Saban. I have said for years, if you gave two coaches an identical football team and gave them 1 week to prepare to get ready to play each other with identical football teams, I think there's a lot of coaches out there that would actually beat Nick Saban. Because Nick Saban was a good but not great in-game coach. But Nick Saban didn't beat you in-game. Nick Saban beat you in recruiting day in February. Nick Saban beat you in spring camp. Nick Saban beat you in fall practices. Nick Saban beat you weeks before you were even thinking about Nick Saban by knowing exactly what you needed to, what they needed to do to beat you, A, and B, by having a uniquely disciplined football team when the ball got kicked on Saturday afternoon or night. Steve Sarkisian's a lot the same way. Sark is a guy that builds talent, puts together wonderful rosters, and beats you weeks before you play him. The difference is, and this is just one guy's opinion from watching a couple years of Sark at Texas. The difference is, I don't think that Steve Sarkisian builds as disciplined of a football team as Nick Saban did. I don't think Steve Sarkisian builds a team that's in whose entire existence is predicated around the concept of getting every single thing right on every single snap. I think Steve Sarkisian is a good game planner. I think Steve Sarkisian is a good books guy, a good X's and O's guy. I even think he's a decent in-game strategist, maybe better than Nick Saban was at in-game strategery. I think the difference is Texas isn't always polished, and I think they showed that last year in a couple of games. I think they showed that last year in the loss against Washington in the semifinal game. I also think they showed it last year when they lost to Oklahoma 34-30 on that October Saturday in the Red River rivalry. That, to me, is the undoing of Texas, because I do think Kalen DeBoer will take advantage of that. And I do think Kirby Smart follows that same methodology that Nick Saban did. I don't need to out-strategize you on Saturday. I need to out-strategize you in April. I need to have my guys knowing where you're going to go in May. I need them to start camp in July and early August, already knowing the game plan when we line up against each other. I think that's the Kirby Smart way. It's why I trust him. I think it's the Kalen DeBoer way. It's why I trust him. I do not think it is the Steve Sarkisian way, which is why I do not trust the Texas Longhorns to be back in the SEC title picture this year. That's my thoughts. That's my reasoning. That's my logic. Georgia, Alabama for an SEC title. Shane said, is strategize a word? No, it's not. It's a playoff of when George W. Bush said strategery, except it was an SNL version of that. And I don't know why it stuck with me the same way Dana Carvey's George H.W. Bush slip, slip, slide to the middle. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Not going to do it. Has stuck with me for years. I can't explain it. I'm just a giant dork. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You know what it is? You can't bring me down. You can't aggravate me. We're 3 days and 3.5 hours away from the start of college football. There's nothing that can get to me right now, except for what Steven just said in the chat, that a medium pollen alert has been issued. And I was sitting here wondering, as I'm sure at this point many of you all have, why can't Rob stop sniffling into the microphone? I couldn't figure it out either. And Steven has just alerted me. The answer is because apparently we're under a pollen alert. Isn't that supposed to be a spring thing? Can't we leave the pollen in like April, please? And thank you. I can't do this crap. And oh, I swear to you, if I'm sitting on the couch sniffing my brain into the back of my skull because it's a pollen day, I'm going to lose what little of my mind there is left available to be lost.
You know, you could just move to someplace colder, like maybe Detroit or something, and you wouldn't have to deal with the pollen. I'm just saying.
Now, I would rather sniff said brain into the back of said skull than have to wear a scarf routinely, is where I'm landing on that.
And having a problem with me playing certain cuts at certain times, this is you and I have been up for quite some time, so you need a little bit of a pick-me-up. Other people have been at work for, you know, maybe an hour or so, and they're just like, oh, man, I got this entire day to go. And you need a little bit of something to get you awake again, and that's all I'm doing.
Here. Yeah. I can't do it when I'm at home. I don't know if I'm going to blow out the speakers or not.
Plus, you can't do it while you're at home, because the little bit of delay will cause a overlap, and it just.
I just got to do it on my own. We'll get there. Hey. We're talking football.
You just scared a dog half to death, by the way.
She's all right. She got it figured out. She got herself. You good? You comfortable? You good? Thanks for paying all the rent, by the way. You're doing a wonderful job of looking at me half a... All right, jerk. All right. Let's keep going with the football stuff. We've been talking a lot of SEC. Your texts are there. 71-307, 71-307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-N. Hurricane Jeff texts the show and said, Rob, where do you see my Canes finishing in the ACC? Can they win or at least compete for the championship? Hurricane Jeff, my answer is thus. Can they? You're damn right they can. I've said it a couple times, and I'll say it again. I believe it. And Jeff, you know how I feel about your football program. I like you, Jeff. You're a spectacular person. You're a P1. You are a prime member of the Armada. Jeff has been more than kind enough than to come out and visit a number of times when this show and others I have hosted have been out on remote. Big, big fan of Hurricane Jeff. Can't stand his college football program. Not even one iota. Jeff, here's what I've said about your Canes. I'll tell you one more time again. You might have the most talented football team in the ACC. You might have genuinely, legitimately, on paper, you might have the most talented team in this conference. You have, on paper, the best quarterback in the conference in Cam Ward. I don't care how good DJ Uiagalelei or Cade Klubnik have gotten this offseason. I think Cam Ward is hands down the best quarterback in the alleged conference of quarterbacks this year. You have, as voted upon by me and fellow media members at ACC Media Day, you have five of the top offensive players in the Atlantic Coast Conference on your team at their position. Five of the top position players in the ACC down there in Coral Gables. Defensively, this team is fast. This team can lay the lumber. And you've got a defensive backfield that I think is going to give fits to the other quarterbacks in the alleged conference of quarterbacks. Here's my question. And I asked this question on, Monday when we talked ACC ball. Jeff, I'll ask it again of you right now. Does your team actually buy into Mario Cristobal? Is Mario Cristobal actually the guy? Because I'm going to tell you, a couple of years ago, I watched your team flat out up and freaking quit on your head coach. I've got exactly and precisely zero love in my heart for the Miami Hurricanes, all right? I just got none. I don't like your program. Nothing to do with you, Jeff. Taylor Swift heart hand emoji. I'm a big fan of you. But your program, when I covered teams down in the state of Florida, Miami fans come in two flavors. There's the old money Miami fans who are lovely people. And then there's the young fans. They're obnoxious. And I don't like them. Okay? No love in my heart for a Cane. But a couple of years ago, I genuinely, legitimately, honestly felt bad for Miami Hurricanes fans because I have never seen a team outright quit like they did a couple of years ago. Last year, look, you had a bad run. You lost to Georgia Tech by 3. Again, a Georgia Tech that your boy has been telling you for 2 seasons now, this team is trending upwards. Do I think Miami should have lost to Georgia Tech? No, not at all. Not at all. But on the list of losses, you could do worse, all right? You lost to North Carolina. Drake May was a quarterback. Good team. You lost to NC State, the second best team Dave Doran has put together for the Wolfpack, the first being this upcoming season. You lost to Florida State, a team that went undefeated. You lost to Louisville, who was a top 10 team in the country at that point, and you lost that game by 1 score. Last year was kind of what it was, but that 2022 season, I've never seen a team outright quit. When you guys lost to Texas A&M, a top 25 team, by the way, And then you turn around and you got beat at the house by Middle Tennessee. Then you turn around and got beat at the house by North Carolina. Then you turn around and got beat at the house by Duke. Then you turn around and you got smoked at the house by Florida State. Then you turn around and you got smoked on the road by Clemson. Then you turn around and you lost in the bowl game, in the rivalry weekend to Pitt. You got smoked in that one too. I've never seen a team quit like that. And that quittiness, that has really been at the forefront of my brain when it comes to Miami Hurricane football for a couple of years now. Do I have the ability to trust a guy like Mario Cristobal, who I watched head coach a team that outright, flat out, and entirely gave up, waved the white flag, left the chin straps unbuttoned, and walked to the sideline?
Are those Scott straps?
Say that again?
I ask if those are Scott straps.
No. Scott Stapp would never. Scott Stapp would look at Mario Cristobal and say, "Coach, can you take me higher?" That's what that guy would do.
You said chin stops. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I know what I did, and I was trying to play it off like I didn't do that, even though everybody heard me, and you have now officially made that impossible to do. Thank you so much.
Just trying to participate.
So there's my thoughts, Hurricane Jeff. Texter says, DJ Uiagalelei's name does to me what the word glizzy does to Zoe. Glizzy. I like it. All right. So there's what I got. Oh, another texter, Lonzo, just hit us with a text that says glizzy. That's it. That's the whole text. Just glizzy.
So these are people trying to annoy me. Good morning.
No, I think they're just people out there trying to endorse the most all-American food that one can have, a classic glizzy. I think that's it. Texter said, Rob, you are right. The weather is nice, but it is fake fall. It's going to be freaking hot next week. We'll see. All right, when we come back here in just a minute, we have been singing the praises, to some degree, of one Stone Cold Steve Austin Dillon in the world of NASCAR. Well, after the race this past weekend, well, actually Monday, at Michigan, Austin Dillon did what I encouraged him to. Austin Dillon has embraced the heel. I'll tell you what I mean when we come back. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show is back here on the radio. It is the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, on the ones and twos today. If you'd like to be a part of the show, do it. 71307. Text us and start your text with Fan, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-M. We'll read them on the air. Texter said, I had no idea what a glizzy was until a few months ago. A glizzy is a hot dog, y'all. That's it. It's just a hot dog, all right? It's America's favorite food.
It's not, though. It's not. I mean, you're trying to push it, and all you're doing is going to make hot dog sales go down. That's all. But you know,
as we all know, big hot dog really struggles in America for sure.
You're right. As long as we have the poor, we have hot dogs. Never mind.
Yes, the poor. It's only poor people, and the countless Costco executive members like myself who line up for hot dogs by the thousands every day. Us poors with our Costco memberships, terrible, poor people, embarrassing.
That's funny. So you're implying you have to be rich to have a Costco membership?
To have an executive membership.
Well, all right. You'll get tired of it eventually, as most people do. Get tired, realize that trying to get in and out of there is not worth it. and that having, you know, 25 extra rolls of toilet paper and all those paper towels that you'll never use and 3,000 chicken nuggets because you couldn't buy, you know, just 20. I mean, you know, that's fine.
Somebody's jealous of my executive Costco membership.
Hey, I did that, been there, got tired of it. It's like, yeah, this ain't worth it.
Oh, it's very worth it. Very worth it. All right, let's get to it. Stone Cold Steve Austin Dillon, Austin 316, says, I just wrecked your ass, has decided that he's going to lean into it a little bit. Austin Dillon, of course, a week and a half ago was vilified by some for wrecking out two of the most popular drivers on the track, Joey Logano and Denny Hamlin, in order to win the race at Richmond International Speedway. Austin Dillon decided that he is just going to be the bad guy, just going to lean into it. Austin Dillon pointed to a conversation that he had with Kid Rock at a professional bull riders event the Friday night before the race at Michigan that ended up being run on Monday due to rain. Dillon said to Kid Rock, aka Robert Ritchie, quote, how's it going, Bob? End quote. Because apparently he's on first names, like actual first name basis with Bob Rock. Anyway, Bob Rock responded to Austin Dillon by saying, good, I got half the country that hates me and half the country that loves me. It's going great. Dillon told NBC Sports on Saturday that, quote, I can kind of relate to that, end quote. Austin Dillon went on for a while when he was asked about the whole thing. He said, for Logano, I'm sorry for the situation that he was in. It didn't matter if it was Joey or anybody. I was going to do my best to get my team to victory lane. The situation on pit road after the race, a lot of things were said in the heat of the moment from him about my family and my belief in Christ. Even for me, I forgive him for getting frustrated. The pit road part with the race car by Logano was a lot. That was kind of out of line. I think NASCAR took care of it, but I forgive him. And I'm sure he's still mad at me for what's going on the racetrack. But this is a game in the end. You don't hate the player, you hate the game, end quote. All right, let me tell you why. Let me tell you why I adore this take from Austin Dillon. Number one, because I believe about 13% of it, okay? I believe about 13% of it. Not every fiber in my being thinks that Joey Logano was, and I'm not saying he didn't for sure. I'm saying I don't buy that he did, was out there mocking Austin Dillon's religion. And I mean, he might have said something about his mama, because let's be real, when it comes to dudes talking smack, yo mama jokes ain't never going to go out of style.
Yeah, but turning the other cheek is also, I mean, you know, I guess he turned his car and that's like turning someone's cheek. I don't know.
I don't believe that a good chunk of what Austin Dillon said happened. But here's the thing. This is why I say Austin Dillon's embraced the heel role. I believe Austin Dillon has embraced the heel role. Because this is what a perfect chicken bleep heel does. This is exactly how a chicken bleep heel operates. You go out there, you do the bad thing, you be the bad guy, and then when you get back to Gorilla and over comes Kathy to give you the locker room interview after you acted like a chicken bleep heel out there, you go, wait, no, actually, I'm the victim. You guys just don't understand. I'm the one who's been suffering here. I'm the one that everybody's out here. This is all Triple H's fault. This is all the authorities' fault. I had nothing to do with this. I am just out here trying to protect myself from the victim. victimhood status that has been placed upon me by the powers that be, and I won't stand for it anymore. My man slid into the ring, and he hit the heavyweight champ in the back with a steel chair while he was looking at something else, and then he slid out of the ring, and he said, whoa, wait, hold on. He attacked me first. I mean, none of you saw it. None of you saw it, but he attacked me first. I'm going to tell you straight up right now, while I enjoy it, while I appreciate it, it makes me want to root against Austin Dillon. And that's the best thing NASCAR's got going for it right now. This is the kind of stuff that I want to see more of in the sport. I want to see more drivers going bananas. And oh, by the way, as we have seen with recent stories in wrestling, like the Bloodline story, like Imperium, led by our friend of the show and current American champion, Gunther. When a faction starts getting big enough, when a faction starts to wreck people around, eventually, more and more good guy wrestlers are going to team up with each other until that faction falls. And I absolutely think that there is some comeuppance waiting in the form of a turn four dump by a couple of other guys on the track in cars that say, that's okay. NASCAR won't police it. We'll police it. NASCAR won't do nothing. We'll do something. And I believe that just like every great wrestling heel, eventually, Austin Dillon is going to get his. But I think my man was making up some stuff to tarnish the character of Joey Logano on pit road. I think my man was spinning some yarn out there to try to make himself look like the good guy when he very clearly was not. And then he gets back, he grabs the mic, he does his post-match interview, and he says, actually, everybody, I'm not the bad guy. I'm actually the good guy, and it's just none of you understand it. And he hits you with the, don't hate the player, hate the game, as if it is 2003. And y'all, while I'm going to root against Austin Dillon in future races moving forward, as a longtime wrestling fan, Lonzo, I love the hell up out of my guy going full Ric Flair from the 80s on this thing, man.
You're not convincing me. He's won you over. You are a fan of him now. You're going to be wearing one of his jerseys very soon.
I am a fan of his like I am a fan of every other wrestling heel. I like this because he's just like, I'm going to antagonize 3/4 of the fan base, and I don't give a bleep. It is the reason that I was a Jeff Gordon fan when I got into NASCAR. It was a reason that I am a Kyle Busch fan to this day. You may add Austin Dillon to the roster. Stone Cold Steve Austin Dillon will dump everybody and then still cut a promo telling you how he really is the good guy and the victim in this situation. Yeah, I respect that. I respect that. NASCAR and pro wrestling, what a damn day we're having, y'all. I'm allowed to say that because I'm a big fan of both. I'm also a big fan of Lonzo cutting sports flashes like this.
You just can't help your heel-loving self. The Atlanta Braves took the first of 3 games against Philadelphia last night, 3-1, on the back of a stellar performance from returning All-Star Ronaldo Lopez. Lopez worked 5 innings, striking out 10 and giving up just 1 run on 5 hits. Atlanta had 7 hits, including Marcelo Ozuna's 39th home run of the year. Atlanta closed a gap to 6 games behind Philly in the division. Game 2 is tonight. After a few awkward moments, Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones says, contract talks with star receiver CeeDee Lamb are progressing. Ask if a deal will get done. Sources have told ESPN that the Cowboys have offered Lamb a contract to make him the second highest paid receiver in the league, but Lamb has yet to accept those terms. And make sure you check out Wire to Wire this afternoon, 3 to 7 p.m. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and it's all.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.